How should Christians view speeding tickets?
We don't really think about how God's word applies to all of life. So we think, what does God have to do with math or my entertainment choices or speeding tickets? We get to think his thoughts after him. So it's fun to see just how relevant God's word is to every aspect of our lives.
On the feature today, Reformed Perspectives' John Dykstra on a novel idea involving traffic tickets down in Colorado. In the news, a win for a Christian school at the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal. Edmonton public school trustees backed down on a motion that would have further restricted parental rights. A call to action in Alberta's school board elections. And some fallout from a pro-life parade float in Smithers, B.C.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The Ontario Human Rights Tribunal has handed a major victory to a small, independent Christian school in that province. The case centered on whether the school was allowed to refuse admission to a student of a married, same-sex couple.
They received a phone call from a member of the public inquiring about their preschool program. Very early into the call, the caller said, "I'm in a same-sex relationship. Is that a problem?" The principal of the school who answered the phone didn't say, "Yes, it's a problem," didn't say, "No, it's a problem," simply said, "Here's what we teach about marriage and sexuality, that marriage is between one man and one woman." So the caller never requested a application form, never filled out an application form, was never denied, nevertheless filed a complaint at the Human Rights Tribunal alleging discrimination on a number of grounds, including sexual orientation.
Alberto's Polizagopoulos is the lawyer who argued the case on behalf of the school. He says in the end, the tribunal found that Section 18 of the Ontario Human Rights Code applied in this case.
In Ontario, like many provinces, you're not permitted to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, sex, creed, race, religion, these kinds of things. There are exceptions. Our exception in Ontario is at Section 18 of the Ontario Human Rights Code, and the exception is for fraternal, philanthropic, religious, or cultural ethnic groups. So, for example, if I run a Greek club, it's not inappropriate for me to require all members to be Greek. So that's what that section exists for, and the tribunal came down and said that the school here was clearly an organization that benefited from that exemption.
ARPA has been watching the case closely. Tabitha Ewert, who's working as a legal articling student in the ARPA Ottawa office, says the decision did generate some misunderstandings which need to be set straight.
We posted an article on our Facebook page on the decision, and we got a lot of comments like, how is this loving the child? How is this Jesus saying, let the little children come unto me? And, you know, it feels as if we are hurting the LGBT parent's child in order to preserve a elitist Christian school. It's a bit of the narrative that gets pushed, but that's actually just not accurate. No one's saying that the child can't come to Jesus, but the fact is that admitting them into the school isn't the way to do that. It's not loving to the child to have the child be taught one way in school and another way at home, especially on something as fundamental as a definition of marriage.
The window for an appeal of the ruling has now passed, but the Ontario Education Ministry has issued a statement saying it is, quote, reviewing the decision. The Edmonton Public School Board has backed off a motion that would have had the potential of entrenching the notion of so-called student privacy into the Alberta School Act. Teresa Eng, who blogs at Informed Albertans, says the motion had some big implications.
A motion that the Board of Trustees would affirm their commitment to protecting the privacy and confidentiality of students by not disclosing information about students' participation in gay straight alliances to any person, including the child's parent, without the student's consent. And part of that motion also said that they would submit a recommendation that that protection of student privacy would be implemented into the School Act, which would then legislate that privacy confidentiality to every school, every student in Alberta.
Eng suspects the motion was really a way for the NDP government in Edmonton to get some political cover to entrench those changes in the School Act.
If Edmonton Public can pass this kind of a motion, then the provincial government, the Minister of Education, can kind of say, oh, well, we're being asked to do this. But I think it's by no accident that the person who is putting forward this motion just happens to be an NDP constituency president in Edmonton.
In the end, that motion did not pass. In fact, it wasn't even debated. The reason was procedural. Normally, motions on new issues need 30 days' notice before the board considers them. In this case, the issue was brought forward without that notice, which meant it would have required unanimous consent of the board to get it on the table, and that didn't happen. Three trustees voted against that, and Aang is convinced that public pressure on the issue carried the day.
Put up on my blog kind of a call to action to people to say, write to the school board trustees and let them know that this is too important to rush through. They received in less than 48 hours upwards of 400 emails for and against this motion. And there were three trustees out of nine that actually voted against discussing it at that particular board meeting because it seemed too rushed. And so it's now on the agenda for the next board meeting in October. But the key thing is that before that next board meeting, we actually have municipal elections, which includes electing school board trustees.
The group Parents for Choice in Education is injecting itself into Alberta's school elections in a big way. Director Donna Trimble says they've put a questionnaire up on their website directed at all candidates running in public and Catholic school elections in the province. She says lots of other groups are being invited to review those questionnaire responses as they inform their constituents on education issues. She admits even posting the questionnaire has raised some concerns in some quarters, but she says this is not about being popular.
While a lot of organizations don't want to be a target of the name-calling and the rhetoric and the unfair branding, we're willing to be an organization that stands up and says, look, you know, we're all about parental choice in education. We advocate for excellence in education, which we think is only possible if there's maximum parental choice, and we're willing to take on those hits from individuals that want to say that we're about anything but choice.
Trimble says even people who don't have kids in the public or Catholic systems need to get involved in this round of trustee elections.
We often hear from people that say, well, this election is not relevant to me. I don't send my children to public school. I don't have children. The bottom line is that we have school boards in the province that are pushing for changes in legislation at the provincial level that will impact every single school. That includes independent schools and charter schools. For example, the Edmonton Public School Board pushed a motion to strip all independent school funding. That would impact every single parent that chooses an independent school for the education of their child. These types of motions and pushes from public school board trustees impact every single parent in the province and impacts education on the whole. And so it's really, really important that the citizens of Alberta take advantage of their democratic ability to choose trustees that will stand up for parental choice in education and parental rights.
We've got a link up to the trustee survey at the Lighthouse News homepage. The school board elections will be held on October 21st. And finally, some pushback against a pro-life float at the Fall Fair Parade in Smithers, B.C. We told you about that float on Lighthouse News last week. It featured a big cardboard cake with the words, "Every child deserves a birthday." At the parade, the float was well received, but there's been some controversy since then. One woman, who apparently wants to remain anonymous, wrote a letter to Smithers Town Council demanding that the float be banned from next year's parade. We link to the complete letter from our homepage. It reads in part, and I'll quote, "A parade is not the time for religion or political statements. It is time for celebration, community, and togetherness. I implore you to invoke a regulation in all future community events prohibiting political or religious statements for the sake of the community," end quote. The request came up at the Smithers Town Council meeting last week, but before that happened, local pro-lifers who had become aware of the request sent in a number of letters of their own to councillors. They also showed up for the meeting. Here's some audio of the discussion at the council table, starting with Councillor Phil Brunesi and ending with Mayor Taylor Bachrach.
I want you to know that we have the jurisdiction to prohibit free speech. As long as they're not breaking the law or promoting hate speech, people can say what they wish. Whether I like it or not, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, the Fall Fair Parade is a community event, but it's not organized by the town. I think that the parameters for the parade are really set by the fair committee and always have been. And like Councillor Brunesi, I don't want to limit anyone's right to expression. I think we live in a pretty diverse community when it comes to perspectives, and as soon as we start shutting those perspectives down, it becomes a pretty slippery slope. So I'm going to support the notion that we do nothing.
And do nothing, as the mayor put it, is exactly what they did. Jessica Vandergag is part of the local pro-life group in Smithers. She says her group's letters and the attendance of some of their supporters at the council meeting served to prove that political pressure does work.
I think having an audience there really made a difference. To show them, we're watching. You can't just push stuff through. They couldn't do anything on this one because it's not really their jurisdiction. The Fall Fair Committee does that. But I think it's important that we showed them we're watching, and I think we did make a difference. I don't feel like it was for no reason that we did this. I feel like it did make a difference.
Vandergag says the next step is to keep up the pressure on the Fall Fair Committee, which actually controls the parade, to ensure the same kind of end result there. Back with more after this.
Earlier this year, the Federal Health Committee responded to Motion 47, the motion to study the public harms of pornography. They seem to believe that they have no responsibility to protect our children from viewing violent pornography. The organization Hope for the Soul has created an infographic in response available on our website. Set up a meeting with your MP and use this infographic to explain to them the dangers that these graphic violent materials pose. If an adult is not allowed to smoke in an enclosed space with a child, why don't we do the same for pornography?
And we're back on the program. Here's a question. What if speeding tickets were paid to charities? That was a headline in a recent edition of Reform Perspective magazine, a column written by John Dykstra. We've reached John at his home in Linden, Washington. John, this kind of caught my eye, partly because it's kind of a bit lighter than the normal stuff we do on Lighthouse News, but what an interesting concept. Talk to me a little bit about where this came from.
Well, I guess the thing that caught my eye is the idea that we don't always think of how God's word applies to all of life, and if it's going to apply to speeding tickets, if it can apply there, then we know that it's relevant everywhere. So I thought that would be a fun take on that.
So how do we apply God's word to speeding tickets in the context of donating this stuff to charities?
Yeah. The writer who was tackling this initially, Steve Kerbel, who's putting forward this initiative, is a libertarian. So he wasn't thinking of this in any particularly Christian manner. But it did strike me as running up against or running alongside what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 8, where he's gathering money for the church in Jerusalem. And he outlines how he's making sure that nobody can accuse him of mismanaging this money. So it's not just that he wasn't mismanaging this money. He wanted it to be readily apparent that nobody could even make that accusation. And so we often hear with these photo radar posts how people talk about them as cash cows and wondering if the government's just setting them up here and there to increase their revenues. Well, whether they are or not, the way that they're set up does leave them open to that accusation. So his initiative kind of shuts that down. If they're not making the money from these photo radar spots, then no accusation can be directed that way.
So you talk about Mr. Corbell's initiative. Just by way of background, they're actually voting on this in Colorado, right?
Yes. So he found one municipality in particular in Colorado was raising $600,000 through speeding tickets, which accounted for more than half their municipal budget. It's not usually that notable, but in Edmonton, more on our side of the border, they can make tens of millions from the photo radar going to the police revenues.
So this kind of goes to the issue of transparency to say, you know what, yes, government is there to set up the regulations, speeding is one of them, but there shouldn't be a perception that the government's doing this to fatten its own coffers.
Exactly. The law officers are kind of under attack in a whole bunch of different ways, and we want to foster respect for them for what they're doing. And one way to do that is to make it obvious that they are here to serve and protect, and not, as one writer put it, here to fine and collect.
Is this going to go anywhere, you think? I mean, the Colorado initiative, I remember Proposition 13 in California was the start of this property tax revolt wave. Is this sort of a new edge of that kind of activism?
You know what? I don't know. I would love it if it did, but the reason I featured it in Reform Perspective was because I think even in our circles, we don't really think about how God applies, his word applies to all of life. So we think, what does God have to do with math or my entertainment choices or speeding tickets? And we get to think his thoughts after him. So it's fun to see just how relevant God's word is to every aspect of our lives.
John, fascinating. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.